1010XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your host Mike Dempsey and John Osher.
Just like that, a legend was born, right? The greatest quarterback in National Football League history. Got off on the right foot, Byron Leftwich. So it led him to a stirring come-from-behind victory over the Buffalo Bills.
A true legend.
A true legend was born that day.
You don't get many of those anymore, Mike.
No, you don't get those too much anymore. So much going on. Oh, my goodness. The Roar's here.
Welcome to the neighborhood.
How about that? Well, thank you very much. John, did you plan this?
If I had a dollar for every time the Roar came and cheered me, I'd say, well,
yeah. Is that right?
It's so routine.
Well, what's up, ladies? How are you doing?
We're good.
Are you just visiting the building today, or is there a special reason? Just visiting us today.
We heard that we had some new neighbors in town, so we had to come by and greet you guys and give you a nice welcome.
Really nice. I actually kind of suggested yesterday maybe they should stop by more often. They're not really on the mic there, Lauren. Lauren's like, no. Turn up their microphone. They're just kind of, their presence is hovering in the room here, Lauren.
They're hanging.
So tell us, what do we need, John's an old veteran of the building, so he probably knows all the tricks. What do I need to learn about working here on a daily basis? What are some of the secrets that this place holds? Do we know anything?
Lots of Jaguar spirit.
Just lots of Jaguar spirit.
Lots of Jaguar spirit.
I encourage him to speak right into the microphone there,
yes.
Tony, if you would. Lots of Jaguar spirit in the building, is that right?
Yes, sir.
What's your name?
I'm Karen.
And your name?
I'm Rachel.
Hi, Rachel. Hi, Karen. How are you guys doing?
Good.
Did you guys make the trip over to London for the shoot and for all the stuff that was going on over there this off season?
We both recently went over there for draft day.
So, oh, you did? Okay.
Yeah, we just got back a few weeks ago.
How was that?
So much fun.
Yeah?
So much fun.
How's the food, be honest?
I mean, I'm not a fan of it, but
it's different.
Oh, yeah, well, that's probably the politest thing I've heard said about the food in London. You concur with that, Osh, as far as that goes?
It struggled.
It was a struggle?
For me. I'm sure there are those who love it.
So, ladies, what is on a typical day like today when you're not visiting us here in the Jaguars Today studios? What do Roar cheerleaders do? Are you guys practicing constantly? Are you? What is it that you guys do when you're not in front of the public?
We practice two times a week, so we had practice last night, and then Rachel and I both are doing appearances today, so we like to get out in the community and visit and get to know the fans and do a lot of things around Jacksonville.
You do a lot of that stuff?
Yeah, and we both happen to be teachers, so we're off for the summer. Yeah.
Yes.
Man.
Living the dream.
Things
right now.
Have really changed since I was a kid. I mean, I guess everybody says that. I don't. John, Miss Marple at your school, look
no.
anything
no, they did.
Like these?
No, they did not. I hope they're not listening, but I hope they didn't. No, they did not.
Do you care? I mean, do you mind? Where do you teach?
I teach high school. So I teach American history, I teach American government and politics, I teach comparative politics, which is like political science, AP college level courses, yeah.
So do all other women hate you guys? Because you're not only, I mean, look, most people assume, well, they're beautiful, they're cheerleaders, yeah, but they're cheerleaders. And then you're like, I teach comparative politics, I teach this, I teach that. I just run circles around you intellectually as well as my beauty. I imagine ladies just absolutely love you guys. Is that the case?
I do little kids, so mine's a lot different than her.
Oh, you teach little kids?
I do elementary school.
Oh, that's cool. Mm-hmm. You enjoy that?
I do. I love the kids.
What do you guys want to be doing 5 years from now?
I am hoping to get my master's degree either in education so I can get into administration at the higher level, or my master's in history so I can try to get into the college level.
What about you, Rachel?
I hope to do a master's in leadership so that I can also do administration as well.
Master's in leadership, right there. I have no idea what that means. John, do you have any clue?
Leadership's not really my thing. I'll follow you on this.
What is the lifespan of a Roar cheerleader? How many years would you guys, you allowed? 5 years is the max you're allowed to do it?
Yep.
So, and how many years is it for each of you two?
This is my fourth.
Wow.
So I'm up there, yeah.
You're almost at retirement age.
Almost to retirement age,
Great organization to work for.
It is awesome. I love it. We've had so many opportunities, and this is just my second year.
Last couple of years, well, you don't know anything but the Shad Khan era of the Jacksonville Jaguars, but looks like there's a lot of positivity. You guys probably run into that as you interact with Jag fans out there.
Every year has been different, but every year has been better. So it just keeps getting better and better.
So what kind of appearances? You guys make appearances like at schools, at all this just wide variety of different kind of events?
Yeah, I would say we do a bunch of different kinds of appearances. We did one last week before school got out at a school at Mayport Elementary, and basically they raised the most food, so we came out there and we talked to them about nutrition and how awesome they did with this kind of project.
That's great. So where are you guys headed today?
We are going to flip burgers for babies.
You are? What does that mean? What
we will find out.
All right.
See, I'm doing that, Mike, and I didn't... It's not even an appearance.
John flips burgers to supplement his salary here.
Best experience for both of you since being with Aurora?
Other than today.
Yeah, today. Definitely today. For me, I have two. So my first number one experience was going to London for the game last year at Wembley. That was just so once in a lifetime. And I think every cheerleader on the Roar would agree that that's something that we'll never get to experience. So it's really easy to take it in. But then on a more personal level for me, it was when my coach nominated me to be one of Jacksonville's top 30 under 30 professionals last year.
Nice.
So that was really awesome. And that was a huge honor. And it really made me feel really awesome. So that's something that I'll remember forever.
What about you, Rachel?
I would say that going to London has been quite the experience, especially when we performed at Wembley. We got, you know, there was so much energy there. But I also enjoyed the Thursday night home game that we had last year that we won. It was just a different kind of feeling.
It's the atmosphere and stuff like that.
It was so much fun.
So apparently neither of you were in the Ozone video last year, right?
I don't think so.
I would assume that would be one.
I hope not. I don't know what we're talking about here.
Well, there were a few Roar appearances in the Ozone.
Oh, were there? Okay.
And I would have just assumed that would have been.
Oh, you're saying that would have been the highlight, highlight for those guys.
Yeah,
they're
like, just Roar.
They're like, as far as we know, we're not in any video that John Osher has shot.
The blank
and
look.
Let's hope that's the case. All right. Well, ladies, we appreciate you stopping by. We've got an open door policy to all members of the Roar. Everybody else needs to check with Fortunato at the door. Thank you, and enjoy flipping burgers for kids today. I'd love to find out what that actually means, so let us know when you come back, all right?
All right. Thank you so much.
All right, you guys, thank you for stopping by. Not only are they beautiful and talented, but they're very smart, John, and I think that it's probably probably intimidating to a lot of men, and not us, of course.
Not us,
infuriating to a lot of
other
ladies.
Other men.
Right. Lesser men is what I would think.
I didn't even understand the class that she was talking about.
I have no idea what either one of them said a minute ago. But yesterday, Tony, wasn't I saying the Roar needs to come by and visit us more?
We were just saying it. I guess they're listening in the building.
I guess they are. Well, they came and they welcomed us 7 weeks in. We feel very welcome by the Roar. It was clearly high on the Roar's priority list to visit us here in the Jaguars Today studios. Makes you wonder what they would have been doing if practice had not been canceled today. But we're happy to fill the time on their docket. Well, we'll get into OTAs, John. Coming up in a minute, Rob Rank's going to join us from CBS. Something Tony found yesterday, a story he did called, what is it, Tony? Finding the Fits?
Finding the Fits,
where he takes a different team every day, and he takes one of their draft picks that he thinks fits exceptionally well with what they want to do. And the guy that he thinks is an exceptional fit for the Jags is Telvin Smith, the linebacker out of Florida State. We'll talk with Rob about that and about the Jags' overall acquisitions through the NFL draft coming up this year. Plus, Father's Day coming up this weekend. We will unveil our Tom Bush Family of Dealerships fan feedback question of the day. It's a Father's Day kind of themed thing, so happy Father's Day to all you fathers out there as well. If you want to get into the show later on, 641-1010. Phone lines will be open to you. Rob Rank from CBS Sports coming up next on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Summer's hot. Sports are cool. This summer, cool off with Jacksonville Sports Radio, 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
All right, Mike Dempsey, John Osher, Fat Tony here with you. It's a Claude Nolan Cadillac Friday. Special thanks to Hussein Naki, who is the Senior Vice President of Fan Engagement here yesterday. He just popped his head in 2 minutes ago, said, ha, ask, and ye shall receive. Because we were lamenting, Tony, the fact that 7 weeks in here doing a live show at Everbank, the Roar cheerleaders had yet to visit us in person.
Now I'm considering what to ask for now.
Right. I have you not heard me ask Shad to adopt me, Hussein?
Yeah, adoption would be nice.
Get the paperwork moving here.
I would settle for some gear with the new logo on it.
Oh, now you see, now you're asking for something with more tangible in reality.
Yeah, I know.
As well. So how about this? I ask for a outstanding draft analyst by the name of Rob Rang to join us from CBS Sports, NFL Draft Scout.
Good segue.
How about that?
I like that. Professional radio.
Rob Rang is on the line right now, and he joins us on Jaguars Today. What's up, Rob? How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing well. Asking you shall receive, gentlemen. Thanks for having me.
It's that if you were here with us, you would have gotten visited by the Jaguar cheerleaders a minute ago. So.
Now
you know in the future when we call you, don't come on the phone, hop on the plane and head on down to Jacksonville. Listen, now we enjoy your series of articles that you do on finding the fits on the one guy that maybe isn't the most high profile guy in a team's draft class that you think is a particularly good fit for what that team wants to do. And for the Jags, you feel Telvin Smith is an ideal match for the Jags defensively. Tell us why.
Well, Telvin Smith is a highly athletic, highly instinctive, explosive football player. I mean, he just perfectly fits in with the speed and instincts that Gus Bradley is looking for at the outside linebacker position. I watched Gus Bradley help build the Seattle Seahawks, obviously NFL champions defense. I live in the greater Seattle area. And I've spoken with Gus Bradley in numerous occasions in the past about the types of players that really fit into his system. Telvin Smith does that. He's not the kind of guy who's going to fit into every scheme because he is built a little safety at 6'3", 219 pounds. It's not kind of a slim build, but, you know, in Bradley's scheme where speed, and instincts are paramount, even over strength, then I think that it is going to be a dynamic fit. I wouldn't be surprised at all if Telvin Smith is, makes an immediate mark on special teams. But I think, you know, sooner rather than later, he is going to end up ascending to a starting role. And I think that not only is he going to start, I think he's going to be a standout for the Jaguars.
Rob, John Osier here, and I appreciate you doing this. The thing you just mentioned, drafting for fit, it's always struck me that maybe that's a little more difficult to really pull off, and I think teams try to do it, but how important is it for the GM to understand what really needs to be obtained in terms of talent for schemes, and how well are the Jaguars doing that?
I think they're doing a phenomenal job, and that I absolutely agree with you, John, in that it sounds easier than it actually is. There really has to be a marriage of philosophies between the general manager and his scouting staff and then the coach, the head coach, and his coaching staff. And again, it sounds easy, but, you know, you and I have been doing this for a lot of years, and we've seen a number of clubs who talk the talk but don't necessarily walk the walk in terms of each department has their own mentality and their own prerequisites, so to speak, if they want of these players, and they very rarely kind of combine together to really lead to success for so many players. I mean, there's a number of very talented football players who are drafted into NFL teams that aren't successful just because they're not very good schematic fits with what the coaching staff is asking them to do. And as I mentioned before with the Seattle Seahawks in my backyard here, you know, what they have done with Pete Carroll and general manager John Schneider is really take that relationship between those two men and really turn that into finding a number of those day three picks that wind up making the roster and helping them win. And that's exactly why I think that the Jaguars are doing a phenomenal job in the last couple of years. And I think that it's enhanced when you have an opportunity like the Jaguars did a year ago to coach in the Senior Bowl. And so it wasn't surprising at all to me to see four of the Jaguars selections be players that they either coached or dealt with on a day-to-day basis in Mobile, Alabama, as I did. And so I think that the Jaguars, not only because of their scouting talents and because of the coaching talents, are going to be successful, they're also going to be successful because they know these players very well, and that's going to help them plug them in and play relatively quickly in their NFL careers.
You mentioned Rob having a very good idea of what Gus Bradley wants in a defense from being out there with him. Out of the other guys on this defense, especially the young guys they've drafted the last couple of years, who else sort of jumps out to you as just sort of making sense for this scheme?
Oh, I like Dwayne Grass a year ago. I mean, he was a corner that I know the Seahawks were very high on. They loved his physicality and his length. And so he's a guy that, you know, you saw flashes of it as a rookie, but I think that you're going to see him take it up to another level this next year. The safety, whose name is escaping me from a year ago, the early second-round pick.
Jonathan Cyprien.
Exactly. Yeah. Cyprien is a football player. I mean, you know, obviously the Seahawks had a lot of success this past year with their combination of safeties and Earl Thomas and Cam Chancellor. I mean, Cyprien reminds me a little bit of Cam Chancellor. As a guy who, just physically speaking, it can be an intimidator over the middle because of his big hits. He does have good instincts. He does catch the ball well. So those are two players that really intrigue me. Going back to this year's draft class, Chris Smith from Arkansas, you know, he's a defensive end that fits in well in that Leo defensive end role. And, you know, so many NFL teams are willing to gamble on great athletes along the defensive line. I mean, the Houston Texans did number one overall with Jadeveon Clowney, an elite talent, but not obviously as productive as you'd like. That's one of the beauties of Gus Bradley's scheme, is that with a Leo defensive end, some of these guys who other teams are going to call tweeners fit in so well with Bradley's scheme that he's able to get him at a much more palatable point in the draft or in free agency without having to dedicate the millions or the high draft picks to find a pass rush. He's still able to get it. And that's why some of these players that others would consider a little bit of a journeyman are able to come in and be successful, like a Babin, like a Chris Clemens, for example. And so, I just really like the fact that Gus Bradley really knows what he's doing with the Jaguars, and I think that he's finding the players that fit in with his scheme. So it's a testament to he and the general manager.
Rob Rang here with the CBS Sports NFL DraftScout.com. You know, that Seattle model, it's going to be compared to here in Jacksonville because of Gus Bradley and his roots there with the Seahawks, Rob. But is it, you know, we're always looking for the next big thing, and people copy success, and Seattle's having success right now. But is their success maybe more sustainable because in this kind of defense that they're running, they're not necessarily looking for guys that everybody would say, well, he's a first or a second round talent. They're finding guys that specifically fit what they want to do. And whereas the Seahawks have hit on some Pro Bowlers later in the draft, is this defense kind of set up to find those guys a little more frequently than some other systems would be?
I think it is. It's one that identifies the unique traits that a player can bring. And really puts them in position to be successful. And I kind of touched upon that Leo defensive end role, which I'm sure you guys have heard over and over and over again about some of the things that it does. I mean, generally speaking, you're looking for defensive ends who are more in that 6'3", 250-pound range, that have long arms, explosive initial burst to be able to, you know, to create that pass rush, but also have a unique strength about them, core strength and aggression. You know, there's a lot of 6'3", 250-pound defensive ends who don't make it in the NFL because they're physically not tough enough to overcome their lack of ideal size. And that's one of the things that Chris Clemens and Jason Babin, and I believe Chris Smith, the rookie from Arkansas, all have. They're stronger at the point of attack than you might expect. That makes them better against the run. Obviously, their forte is against the pass. That five technique defensive end on the other side. Jacksonville brought in Red Bryant from Seattle, who, of course, starred in that role with the Seahawks. I think that fits. I like the fit of Tyson Alualu in this defense. I think that because of his strength, he's going to be able to hold up as a run blocker. He's going to be able to give you a little bit of an interior pass rush ability. And I think that Gus Bradley's scheme fits his Alualu's talent as well. So, again, I really think that Jacksonville is a team that's on the rise. And we haven't even had a chance to talk about some of the offensive players, and obviously even Blake Bortles, Marquise Lee, Allen Robinson, as well as some of the dynamic athletes that they selected a year ago in Denard Robinson and Ace Sanders. I mean, you have some very exciting athletes on this team. I think the Jaguars are, you know, right here on the edge of making a real leap in the AFC South Division.
Did the Bortles pick surprise you, Rob?
Well, it certainly surprised me in that I had Blake Bortles going number 32 overall, which would have been the Seattle Seahawks pick, but I had the Jaguars actually making that trade up with the Seahawks to get Blake Bortles. So I can't say that it didn't surprise me if I had him going number 32 and he went 3. That said, I did have him going to the Jaguars. I really think that he's a good fit in this team. I like what Jed Fish brings as an offensive play caller and offensive coordinator. Had a chance to see him up close and personal as well in Seattle and at the Senior Bowl, and the way he played or called games and worked with the quarterbacks. Blake Bortles is a very intriguing quarterback. He was my number 2 rated quarterback in this draft class. I had Teddy Bridgewater from Louisville as the top rated quarterback just because I think he's a more polished player right now. But I have been, you can look this up, a bigger fan of Chad Henne over the years than a lot of people have. I love his intelligence. I love his competitive spirit. I think that he's the ideal quarterback to be able to bring along a young passer like Blake Bortles, whose talents are, you know, off the charts. He just is a little bit unpolished at this point. So I think that this is a nice selection for the Jaguars. If you have a quarter, if you have a player that you love, why try and get cute and trade down? You might miss him, and especially at the quarterback position. So I applaud the Jaguars for taking the quarterback that we all can see has talent and has played at a high level in big football games. I think that certainly deserves acknowledging. And I think that when it's all said and done, it's going to be a selection that the Jaguars are very, very happy with. I think he's going to be the franchise quarterback that the Jaguars have been starving for.
Rob, only got a minute or two here left with you. We know you got to run, but just quick thoughts on those two receivers in the second round that you mentioned, Marquise Lee and Allen Robinson.
Well, we talked about the schematic fits on the defensive side of the football. I love the schematic fits that the Jaguars found these two receivers because they're so different, and they're not the same type of players as what the Jags already have on the roster. I mean, Marquise Lee is a dynamic athlete. I live on the West Coast. I've watched essentially every single game that Marquise Lee ever had with the Trojans. He fell to the second round because he lost his quarterback the year before, Matt Barkley, and so his stock plummeted because he just wasn't nearly as productive. The injuries cropped up. You could see that he was frustrated, but when he's healthy, he is a dynamic playmaker. I mean, this is a kid that should have gone in the first round, and I think ultimately he's going to wind up being the Jaguars' big play receiver, their absolute superstar. Allen Robinson, the other side, is a classic split end. He is a guy who uses his size, uses his leaping ability and strong hands to be able to high point passes, physically beat those bigger, longer corners that we're seeing dotting all over the NFL landscape. So I really think that with those two players, as well as, again, the dynamic kind of slot guys that the Jags drafted a year ago, and John Robinson, Ace Sanders, I really think that it sets up well, especially because you already have an established player, there with the talent that the Jaguars already have on the field. It's going to show them the work ethic that you need to be successful in the NFL.
Rob Rang, CBS Sports, NFLDraftScout.com. We appreciate the time and an interesting article for folks. If they want to check that out, go to CBSSports.com. You'll find it off the NFL draft page there. Finding the fits, talking about how Telvin Smith is an ideal match for Gus Bradley's defense here in Jacksonville. Rob, I don't know if you have kids or not. Happy Father's Day if it applies to you. And a good catching up with you, buddy. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks for having me on, guys. Next time, give me a little bit more heads up. I'll jump that flight and be down there looking at your split.
Well, we can work on that. And you tell us when you're going to be in town. We'll make sure the cheerleaders stop by just on your account, man. Thank you, buddy.
Rob, thank
Thanks,
you.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
All right, there he goes. Rob Rang, CBS Sports, NFLDraftScout.com. We throw out the question of the day, speaking of Father's Day today, where we ask Jaguar fans, courtesy of the Tom Bush family of dealerships, what is your favorite, let me see how I phrase this one, Tony. How did I phrase this exactly? What is your favorite experience with your dad or as a dad at a football game? What's your favorite football experience? I'm sure I said it better when I typed it out, but I don't have it right in front of me. I think you get the gist of it. You can tweet us at MD_1010XL, at John Osher, at 1010XL Fat Tony, at 1010XL Lauren. Tell us your favorite experience that you've had as a father at a football game or involving football or with your dad growing up, whatever the case may be. You can also post on our Facebook page, which is jaguars.com. It's facebook.com/jaguars today. I don't know, Rob.
Or jaguars.com.
I did better with cheerleaders than I did with Rob Rang. You can go to jaguars.com, check out all Osher stuff there.
Yeah, why not?
What do you got coming up today, by the way, with these guys having the day off?
Well, change of plans. You know, we're going to cover OTAs, now we're not. And you may just freeform a little bit and just talk about Mike Dempsey. How about that?
That'd be awesome. I think that'd be great. I think you'd get a lot of hits on there.
I think we would. Photos would be key there.
Both positive and negative as far as that goes. All right, we'll come back. Phone lines will be open to you at 641-1010. We'll talk with Osh about what we've seen at OTAs this week now that they're in the books. Mini camp coming up next Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. Thanks again to Rob Rang for joining us. It's Jaguars Today live from Everbank Field on 1010XL 92.5 FM. Yeah, even I got this one figured out, Lauren Brooks. Whether anybody else does, I don't know.
It's Friday, okay?
I got the theme of the day. We'll discuss later on in the broadcast today. John Osher's here. He's a senior writer for Jaguars.com. You're pulling double duty this week.
Well, as I told you when I came in, there is a such thing as too much Johnny O. So we may be hitting that
point. I don't think we've reached a critical mass yet. No.
Well, that's my wife. She'll tell you.
Other than Tony and myself and, of course, Fortunato and Lauren Brooks, nobody gets to come on this show twice a week.
Well,
it's a big time.
They do.
I can never get enough Johnny O.
Now, are you going on vacation the week after minicamp? Is that the deal? What's the story?
Yeah, taking my son up to visit a couple of colleges in North Carolina.
Happy Father's Day, old man.
Yeah, it's that time, so that's what we're doing.
That's cool. Is a good student?
He's okay. He could be better.
All right. Well, I didn't know if he was like
sort of like his dad.
Did he earn, you know, full ride or anything like that? Is he,
No, probably won't. Unfortunately, probably won't get in a full ride. Unfortunately, I might be financing a little bit.
Not many of them do, man. I wanted my kid to take up golf simply for that reason. At least get a partial golf scholarship. Not going to happen.
Yeah, we're working things out. He's a tennis player, so we'll see how that works out. So,
well, my son is technically a soccer player. You're not getting any money for that either.
Right.
I can see that now. All right, so, I can absolutely see that. Well, good luck with that.
Yeah, it's a fun time, obviously, and it's as they get to that age, they never get easier.
Is that right?
Yeah.
So I have a lot to. So the fact that my son's about to turn 10 in a couple of weeks, and he's in the last year kind of gotten at times surly. Is not a passing phase necessarily.
That passes.
He's still a good kid. He's still a sweet kid. But you know, he doesn't appreciate dad's corny sense of humor as much. Those kind of things.
Well, as my son will tell you, every once in a while somebody will tell my son, "Boy, your dad's a funny guy, right? Yeah, you know, a funny guy, right, Mike?"
Sure, I think you're hilarious.
And Jake's response is usually, you know, "You haven't lived with him for 17 years.
Yeah. Well, we can all probably say that about a lot of people. We'll get to Rob Rank's comments in a minute. Boy, is he a Henny fan, right? I mean, yep. In terms of being just a national observer of the National Football League, you don't hear as many guys talk as positively about Chad Henne, and had a lot of nice things to say about the direction the Jags are taking. 641-1010. Phone line's open to you right now if you'd like to weigh in on anything you heard Rob Rank say. You want to talk about OTAs, you have a question for John about what's been going on at organized team activities on the eve of the week of minicamp starting up. The same number works for all of them. And if you've got a Father's Day story to share, that's kind of our question today. What's your favorite football-related experience you had with your dad or as a dad? Why couldn't I just spit that out earlier? That made a little bit more cohesive sense than where I was going earlier. Let's start with Scott today on 1010XL. Hi, Scott. How are you?
Great, man. How you guys doing?
Good. What's up?
Happy Father's Day to both of you.
Same to you, if it applies.
It does not, that I know of, hopefully.
All right.
All right, Jack.
That's how you do it, just in case.
I have a lot of great memories with my daddy since he passed away. I was next to him at the cock block when Spurrier came back through the swamp, and we blocked the field goal there. But the funniest, best memory I had was my first Jaguars game. I was like 7 or 8 years old, and for some reason my mom couldn't make it, so I got to go to my first game, and it was the Falcon, 96, and I didn't really understand the circumstances. I just knew that if we won, we went to the playoffs, and
right. That
was a big deal. So, end of the game, it's getting down. My dad had this thing where if the game was close,
he had to leave. He did not want to see the end of the game because if he felt like if he watched, he was just going to jinx it and the team wouldn't win. And if they messed up and lost, he didn't want to see it anyway and he'd rather be gone. So the game's getting down the end. It's exciting. And we go out to the concourse to watch the end of the game on the TV in one of the concession stands. So as soon as it's done, him figuring we're going to lose, we can just bolt out, get in the car, and, you know, be gone. So, you know, the field goal's approaching, what have you, and this guy is, like, leaning in front of the TV, and my dad says to him, he's like, hey, big head. The guy doesn't move anything. But I was like, hey, big head. Dude turns around, he's like, come on, man, none of us can see, like, move your head. Guy, he's like, whatever. Starts whatever, and my dad's like, you know, nice effing head, pal. Come on, move. Like, things are getting tense. I'm like, what is going on? This is weird. Then the field goal hits. He slips. The field goal's gone. Jaguars win. And my dad and this guy just start hugging each other, jumping around, going crazy. It was one of the funniest things I've ever seen.
That's great.
Thank you, man. Appreciate it. I thought for sure that guy was turning out to be David Lamb. I thought for sure he was going to be David Lamb.
We don't know that it wasn't.
Totally. Maybe you're right. Maybe it was. Maybe Lamb was hugging it out with Scott's dad there. Said it a million times. This will make a million and one. Joe Cowart used to ask the philosophical question, would you rather have $1 million or David Lamb's head full of nickels? And it's one to ponder. It really is. You sit there. It's like that thing, you know, that thing, would you rather have $1 million or like a penny on the first day of the month and you double it every day?
Right.
And you end up with a lot more money if you take that option. I don't know how that applies to David Lamb's head full of nickels, but I think it does in some form or fashion.
We should ask the Roar.
We should bring him back, Hussein. Jody, you're on the line next here on 1010XL. How are you?
Hey, Mike. How you doing today?
We're good, man. What's up?
Hey, not much. I got a Father's Day story for you. My dad, he coached the first Little League team out of Palma Vita and Palm Valley back in the late 60s. And one of the team members' dad was a bulldog. And being a Florida Gator, I didn't really think too much about it. But we got sideline tickets. And the Bulldogs kicked a field goal at the end of the game to win the game. I think it was in 71, 72. Anyway, the next day on the front page of the Sunday paper was a full-color spread, and underneath the extended leg of the kicker's leg was my dad kneeling down on the sideline with me and my brother in front of
him. Oh, that's pretty sweet.
Pretty cool.
That is pretty cool.
And I asked Lauren, and I don't know if y'all have gotten the totals yet, but I was just curious to how we did yesterday. I know I bought $230 packages for the 1010XL ticket.
You know what? That's a good question. I will endeavor to find out sometime before the show is over. But I have not asked that question yet today.
Well, I'm down here in Palma Vita, and I guess the boss put car battery on y'all's signal, so I'm catching you again. I'll be listening.
All right. Thank you, Jody. Appreciate that, man. So you probably remember that game, Ocean 71, being a few years older than me.
I don't, but probably only because we had not moved to Jacksonville from Seattle at that point yet.
There you go.
73-ish started my Florida-Georgia memories.
Now,
I remember a lot of Gator losses in the last
73 did. Okay.
Yeah.
That's still going back a good ways.
Yeah.
As far as all that.
It was odd. Moving down here, it took me... I was a huge NFL fan when I was a little kid, and
who did you root for?
I was a huge Redskins fan.
Okay.
Off the charts. My dad and I, that was our thing. So it took me a while. Always having been NFL-oriented. In Seattle, Washington, where we were from, I was 6 or 7 years old, and college football out there really wasn't a big thing.
Right.
So it actually took me 2 or 3 years of living in Jacksonville at that age to sort of realized that college football was as big, and that was the thing, and that was, you know, even back then in the South, it just permeated football and was probably more popular than the NFL at that point in this area, certainly.
So definitely.
It was a big culture shock as a kid at that age to, you know, to go outside, you're throwing the football with friends, and they're talking about the Gators and the Bulldogs, and I was, you know, I, of course, had no frame of reference.
Right. When did they play Washington?
Yeah, I mean, it was just a different deal, and it took a while to realize that that was such a huge thing.
I was the same way. I moved from Connecticut in 78, and
right.
I guess, you know, intellectually you realize college football existed, but that was about the extent of it. Nobody cared. Nobody talked about it, nothing. No coverage of it whatsoever.
I remember little friends of mine talking about going to see the Huskies out in Seattle, and it was almost the equivalent at that age from my perspective of talking about a high school game. You know, it just didn't – anything that wasn't the NFL paled. And when you got to Jacksonville back then, boy, they talked to Gators. You saw a Gators shirt. I mean, it was just a different world.
So. All right, let's get back to the phone calls. 641-1010. Jonathan, you're up next with a Father's Day story. What's going on?
Hey, how's it going? Hey, I have a couple of things. I originally grew up in Jacksonville, but we had moved to Pensacola, and my children were both born there, my son in particular. We made one of the most memorable things we did was come back over for the Monday night football game when the Jaguars played the Dolphins, and Dan Marino, I guess it might have been his first appearance here, it was a very exciting game. Had a great time. My son at the time was probably too young to remember that. But over the years, we've done a lot of different things. He's now at Florida State. He's going to be a junior this fall. And this past year was sort of the dream season, you know, for Florida State fans. And he and I made a road trip up to Clemson to watch that game. And just to be in that environment was amazing enough. And then, of course, the way the Seminoles trounced him was really cool. Had a lot of fun with that, but then, of course, they made it all the way to the championship game, and we had to go. So we flew out to California, went to the Rose Bowl, and took in that scene, and had a great time during the game. Of course, it didn't look like it was going to go too well around halftime. They were trailing so bad, but with the comeback in that fourth quarter, was incredible, and there were a couple of people sitting around us. Most were all strangers. It was just him and me, and then, of course, a bunch of Florida State fans, and when the Seminoles scored that last touchdown, everybody was hugging everybody and anybody that was in proximity. And he turned around, and sitting right behind us were a couple of cute girls who were about his age. And one of them just threw her hands up, and he went in for the hug. And I told him if he'd have played his cards right, he could have proposed, and she probably would have accepted right on the spot. So he missed his opportunity.
Yeah, you got to take advantage of that raw emotion in the moment, I think. Although, Osh, I was looking at a highlight last night. Somebody, you see that one, Tony's guy caught the foul ball, and his buddy's going to high-five him, and he ignores his buddy, and he turns around and tries to give it to the girl in the row, and she just wanted nothing to do with it. She's like, no, I'm not touching that thing, man. You can keep it away from me.
Our caller has Father's Day memories of that. All the kid's going to remember is that hug.
Oh, no question about it. Are you kidding me? That was a life, an early life maker right there. All right, we got to take a quick timeout. 641-1010 is the number if you want to get on board and share some of your favorite memories of spending time with your dad or with your kids as a dad that's football related. You're certainly welcome to do that on the phone lines. You can tweet us or you can post on the Facebook.com/JaguarsToday page as well. When we come back, this date in football history, it's a Claude Nolan Cadillac Friday. Mike Dempsey, John Osher, Fat Tony here with you. It's Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. All right, let's take a look at this date in football history. It's brought to you by Dr. James McCall's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry. Johnny O, this date in football history, the greatest football player ever to come from Lake Wales, Florida, was born.
I feel like I ought to know this.
I don't know. Should you?
I'm drawing a blank.
Any clue? Any guess, Tony? What do you got? Lake Wales, Florida. Come on.
When was he born?
He was born in 1903, as a matter of fact.
Holy cow.
See?
Nope.
Not anyone recent. That would be the Galloping Ghost, Red Grange.
Oh.
Ladies and gentlemen. He was a member of the inaugural Pro Football Hall of Fame class, as well as a charter member of the College Football Hall of Fame. As well. So there you have it. He was named by ESPN, by the way, in 2008. I don't know how much of an authority you think those folks are, but as the greatest college football player of all time, Red Grange.
I believe that.
So, do you?
Everything you read is that it was a game-changing, you know, national story whenever he played, and that it was off the charts in terms of how dominant he was.
I was reading some stuff on his, you know, the always accurate Wikipedia, which is where we all go now, or at least I do. John, I'm sure a good professional journalist like you thumbs your nose at them. But he was making his first year with the Bears like $100,000 when the typical salary was less than $100 per game per player.
Right.
So, you know, you're talking about maybe $1,000 for the season. He was making 100 times that as a member of the Chicago Bears.
Yeah, and, you know, I read a lot about, football growing up, and everything when you read about Red Grange was just what a pro football was nothing at the time. It was literally, there was no league, there was nothing, and it was considered a lesser sport than college football, a less noble sport, if you will. And Red Grange was an absolute rock star who spanned, it was maybe like when Tiger went to golf, or a guy who completely sort of overshadows the sport and changes the dynamic of people who are interested in and into it. I think anybody could have the effect on pro football now that Red Grange did because it's such a popular sport. You have to think of somebody who's gone to a smaller level sport who's completely elevated.
To make it mainstream, right?
Yeah, I mean, it was a non-entity when Red Grange went to play.
When he did it, he went on a 67-day barnstorming.
Yeah.
They love the barn. Whoever stormed a barn,
right.
By the way. But regardless.
Nobody barnstorms anymore, Mike.
They don't barnstorm.
That's what's wrong
anymore.
With this country.
A 67-day tour, which was credited with legitimizing pro football. Do you know how many games he played in 67 days back in the 20s? His descendants are going to sue the National Football League when I read this number.
I don't, but it was more than 67. Right?
No. It wasn't. No, it was 19 games. See, now it seems like it's such a small number to me. But 19 football games in 67 days. Basically, you know, at least two a week for 2+ months.
And I don't have Wikipedia, but...
You don't?
They were well attended. I mean, it was a... It was a big, big deal that made the newspaper headlines everywhere.
They said in 1925, somewhere between 65 and 73,000 showed up at the Polo Grounds to watch him play because he basically saved the New York Giants franchise at the time. Scored a touchdown in that game on a 35-yard interception return. He ran for 53 yards on 11 carries, caught a 23-yard pass, completed 2 of 3 passes for 32 yards. That's how he rolled.
And there's a story that I remember from reading about Red Grange where, like, he always claimed that he learned some of his moves by when he was a little kid chasing his dog around the yard. And
much like Rocky and the Chicken.
Yeah, he would chase his dog around the yard, and of course the dog would make little moves. And I remember some quote from Red Grange saying that his dog was the best open field runner he ever saw.
Best Jaguar player who has a story similar to that, please.
Again, you're...
Fred Taylor!
Fred Taylor
chasing rabbits.
Okay.
Come on, right? Down at Pahokee, where they all... You know, that's the legend anyway, right? They all chase rabbits through the field. I don't know if they ever caught any. But Red Grange, that's your this date in football history. We got a good 5 minutes out of Red today.
We did.
I'm happy with the Lake Wales native.
By the way, roar cheerleaders can't tell you a good Red Grange story.
Mike, I bet they.
As much
you know
as you
what?
Like
history
them,
one good.
That's right.
She
that's
probably.
Right.
Could
I know you're all into the roar, but she could not have given you that Red Grange story.
I'm into. Apparently, I'm hot for teacher is apparently what Lauren thinks I am today. This date in football history this week presented by Dr. James McCall's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry. They're located on Gate Parkway. If you need cosmetic work done, or you're just in the market for a family dentist, either way, Dr. McCall's office can serve you. Call 620-9225. They are a certified Invisalign provider, and they offer a 10% off discount on all first-time customer initial visits. Visit jamesjmccall.com and get all the details about their complete list of comprehensive care services. Now, the lovely ladies of the Roar were headed out to, what was it again, Tony? Books for Babies. What was it?
Flippin' Burgers for Babies. Yes.
And we did not quite understand what that whole situation entailed. And Ken Atkins has been listening. He is with Community Connections, and apparently he is associated with this outing today. And he's going to give us the details on what's going on. Hi, Ken. How are you?
Hey, thanks, man. Thanks, guys, for allowing us to talk about it. Yeah, it's a great day. Matter of fact, the world, they just got here too. On today, 40 celebrity chefs are going to be getting together. And they're going to be cooking, and they're going to be flipping burgers, and all of the proceeds are going to benefit our Burgers for Babies program. Of course, what that is this, that Community Connections is a great organization who takes kids, young people and women in who are in transition. Many of them come from other shelters. Some of them even come from cars because they've been homeless. And we take them in and we give them and we nurture them into a great school and housing environment. So once that happens, you know, it takes a lot of resources to do it. So this is one of our great fundraisers that's sponsored by so many great community people that we have in our community. So we're kind of excited about what we've got going on today, and we want to invite the entire Jacksonville community to come over to 327 East Duval Street and hang out with us over here at Community Connections over the next couple of hours.
All right, 327 East Duval Street. How long does it go on till, Ken?
Yeah. Yeah, we're gonna be up until about 2 o'clock, because they could get here and come out and eat and grab a great burger. A lot of different celebrity chefs are going to be cooking, and just folks from all over, from business to sports, even to pastors and political leaders also.
Oh, very cool, man. Keep up the good work. We appreciate all the stuff that you guys are doing out there in the community, and say hi to Karen and Rachel. They'll know who I am.
I would do that. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Ken. We'll see you later, Ken Atkins. With Community Connections there, as that's what the Roar Cheerleaders are up to today, John.
Yeah, and on another note, got a tweet from George B. about his dad. Said, I remember going to Jack's Bulls game with Dad. Never knew there was a fourth quarter, had to leave after the third to beat traffic.
Is that right?
We've all been there. You know?
Yeah, it's funny.
That's fantastic.
My wife is the most adamant person I know about not leaving a sporting event until it is completely over with.
Is that right?
Yeah, it doesn't blow out city. What if they come back? You're going to miss it.
Got to beat traffic.
It's great. She is not the traffic beater. I'm more of a traffic beater. At a certain point last night, I could not blame the folks at what is the arena, something Airlines Arena down in Miami,
sure,
as they were filing for the exits. When you're down 22 with
right,
four to play, it's about time to go warm up the car.
Yeah, I find myself I'm that way more after covering sports for a living for a long, long time, because I'm so used to not having to deal with traffic. I'm spoiled with the parking passes that if I go to an event, traffic just drives me nuts.
Well, and for us, you know, if you're working for like 45 minutes to an hour after the game,
right, never deal with it.
Then the traffic's right, all cleared out. You think, oh, what's the big deal here?
Not my dad. My dad, if he had missed first pitch, opening kick of any game, he might have just gone home.
Really?
Like, he was like, look, if we're not going to be there for the game, then we're not going to be there for the game. And there was no way he would leave before the final whistle.
Is that right?
There's okay, no way we would leave a game. It doesn't matter how bad it was. I mean, we went down to see Florida Vanderbilt a lot down in the swamp, and those games sometimes would end up, you know, 62-3. We sat there and suffered through the whole thing. There's no way we were leaving a game early.
Yeah, for me, my dad, we never had like the football connection. He kind of got me into baseball a little bit. The first game I think he ever took me to, though, was a rugby game at Yale. When I was a kid, we lived. You know,
were there too.
I was. It was the two of us, right? There was one other. It was one other kid, poorly dressed, just like myself, on the opposite sideline. Looked to be about a year or two older than me.
I was waving. Hey,
and I was, hey, let's make friends. It was. And matter of fact, I wasn't Martin O-esque. I had the ball actually like bounced off me, like it came, you know, tumbling towards the sideline. I don't know what they were, you know, doing, running backwards and throwing it backwards like they do. And I just remember the ball not being shaped like a normal football. I'm like, what is this pumpkin doing coming right at me? And being probably like six at the time, I did not make a clean grab of it.
No.
Unlike Martineau. Martineau was kind of the star of OTA so far. Wouldn't you agree?
He was.
Did you witness the one-hand grab?
Yeah, I was. I was ashamed of myself when I saw that, because I could not have made that play.
I don't know if I could. You know, I couldn't have made the play, because my first instinct is I'm not going to be the guy that drops the pass on the sideline. Because who was it the other day that was a PCAV?
PCAV.
Patrick Kavanaugh,
yeah,
who threw one back into play, and he threw it fine.
Yeah.
But, you know, it wasn't the tightest spiral in the world.
And it came up short, so he gets mocked.
Yeah.
And Martineau was smart enough that after the one-handed left-handed grab, and he is left-handed doing something, so maybe it was easier.
Right, it's a left-handed golfer.
But he was,
it's like cheating,
smart enough to give the ball to somebody else to throw back. He's like, nope.
He handed the ball to the official.
Yeah, he was like, nope.
He's been there before.
He acted like he'd been there before.
That's what he's done, you know. I mean, that's why, don't you have to go with the underhand spin pass, you know,
that big underhand,
that big nonchalant one, right? Like, I'm just doing it nonchalantly.
I'll roll it every now and then.
It's because I don't want to throw my shoulder out on the first. I'm always amazed by, like, the center fielders who will throw the ball in underhanded about, you know, 50 feet high in the air. You know what I'm talking about? Yep. They just flip that thing underhand. Are they saving the arm, or do they all throw like Johnny Damon? I've always wondered as far as that goes. All right, we'll take a quick timeout. We'll come back. We'll get into some of the comments we heard from Rob Rang a little bit earlier, talking about some of the fits and some of the pieces that Dave Caldwell has put in place for your Jacksonville Jaguars over the last couple of years. Also hear a couple of comments from Chad Henne post-practice yesterday. If you'd like to get on board, 641-1010 is the number to do so. Tweet us at MD_1010XL. For me, at John Osher. For Johnny O, that's O-E-H-S-E-R, at 1010XL Fat Tony, at 1010XL Lauren. It's Jaguars Today live at Everbank Field on 1010XL 92.5 FM. All right, Mike Dempsey, John Osher, the senior writer from Jaguars.com. Fat Tony is here. It is Jaguars Today, and we're brought to you every Friday by Claude Nolan Cadillac, and they've been serving you here in Jacksonville since 1905 as a preferred Cadillac dealer in all of Northeast Florida. They've got the largest selection of new and pre-owned Cadillacs in Jacksonville, and, by the way, the only Cadillac dealer in North Florida selling and servicing the ELR. The elegance and experience of driving a Cadillac just a step away. You can build your lasting relationship by logging on to ClaudeNolan.com. Visit our friends at 4700 Southside Boulevard, 642-5111, the number. Claude Nolan Cadillac, our Friday sponsor. You look eager over there. What's going on with you over there?
Don't just drive a Cadillac.
Drive a Claude Nolan Cadillac.
Yeah. Jessica tells me that.
Jessica tells you that all the time. There's good reason. And you've paid heed. You followed suit. And your next
board.
Cadillac
I'm
purchase
all in.
Will
That's
be
right.
coming. From Claude Nolan Cadillac.
That's right.
Your next slash first Cadillac purchase.
I can guarantee you that my next
Cadillac will
purchase.
Be a Claude Nolan Cadillac. As it should. That's all we ask.
That's right.
Is that your next one at least consider the elegance, the experience of the Cadillac through the virtues of Claude Nolan Cadillac, our Friday sponsor. Rob Rang a little bit earlier today when we were talking a little football on Jaguars Day. Doesn't it just feel like the last day of school today? Is it because the players, we know that they're not out there working hard right now on the practice field, or is it just me that it feels like?
No, it does. I mean, it's, yes.
It just feels like a holiday, like we've got a three-day weekend coming up.
It's weird. I get the same feeling. I guess it's because of all the sports that are going on right
Maybe.
Now with the Jags getting the day off from OTAs, the U.S. Open's on, the World Cup really
Who's
gets rolling
Who's leading the U.S.
today.
Open, Tony?
That would be Martin Keimer.
Martin Keimer is leading the Open. Try it, John. It's fun.
Martin Keimer.
All right, there he goes. He's trying. Anyway, I don't know why we feel like he's not Austrian, yet we say him in a Schwarzenegger accent. So at least
there's no other way to do it, especially
to.
With that name.
Marty.
What are you
He's making
say,
all the 10-footers for par today.
It doesn't feel right to just say his name.
You would say player's champion, Martin Keimer.
That's right.
That's what you would say. Maybe
he wins this tournament, you can say whatever.
You'll say two-time major champion,
yeah.
Marty.
You can say whatever you want. He won't care a bit.
I'm pretty sure Baloo calls him Marty, but that's just a guess. I haven't heard that. Did Dustin Johnson just hole one out? No, he's picking
no.
up his putter there.
No.
I'm rooting against Dustin Johnson this week at the United States Open. That's all.
Okay.
That's my personal reportings on that. Where were we a moment ago?
Rob
we were
Rang.
Get back to football.
We were going to get back to football. But
you mentioned Rob Rang.
I did.
We've mentioned.
I felt like you had more to say over there.
Chad Henne. Well, it is Friday the 13th, too.
That's right.
So, I mean, there's a lot going on.
Did you see the honeymoon last night? Have
no.
you heard about this, the honeymoon thing?
No.
I really wonder. You know that song, Honeymoon, Keep a Shining in June?
Yep.
Right? The old school, right?
Sure.
Real old school. Right, your grandparents
sure.
might know that one. Sure, I wonder if that's what it really refers to, because this moon last night, like I'm online and I've said, oh, tonight's the first. You won't see this again until 2098. Well, you'll see it again. You just won't see it on a Friday the 13th until
yeah.
2098. But the moon was like at its lowest point in the horizon,
okay.
and due to some atmospheric conditions, it appears like reddish, like honey colored, is what they say, reddish brown.
That's kind of creepy.
Looked kind of moon-like to me. It didn't really look reddish. But I was out there at 12:11 a.m. this morning, because that's when they said it would be most visible in that regard.
Yeah, I saw an estimate today that
big observer of the skies. I
productivity loses like $700 million
on Friday the 13th.
On Friday the 13th, because people are afraid to go out of their house.
Really?
Yeah, I saw that as there was some. Something I saw on Twitter.
I'm going to serve one up to Hacker right now. Hacker, if you're listening, as I'm sure you are, getting ready for XL Primetime. sports superstitions coming up at noon today on 1010XL 92.5 FM. Are you a superstitious sort yourself?
Not particularly, no.
Yeah, like, even as a sports fan, even if you know, like, as a kid, did you have some piece of Washington memorabilia that you had to have in your hand or
yeah,
be
there were a couple of bad 70s T-shirts that I'm not going to say I didn't wear.
Religiously, right?
Yeah, as I recall. And my dad used to have his glasses in a certain spot or else the Skins would lose.
See?
Yeah, so there was stuff like
you'd
that.
You'd think
not
after
over
a certain while you'd learn to just put them in the spot, right?
Yeah, I mean, he would line them up and they had to go right next to the remote. And but not over the top where there were certain things we had to do in the morning or certain things we had to eat. There was, I was superstitious about if they won, I had to drink a few beers afterward.
Uh-huh.
But I did it if they lost, too.
At what age did this begin?
Right. But I also did that on our days they didn't play. So, I mean, that doesn't really count.
And so your superstition was, right. I probably should drink a few beers today,
right?
Basically.
Yeah.
You don't have any issues with the number 13, do you? Like, you know how they usually won't have a 13th floor in a hotel, stuff like that.
Right. Not big on it. Not really. No.
Me either. The whole triskaidekaphobia thing. Never.
Yeah. Whoa.
That one doesn't bother me. Put me on the ledge, on the ledge of a tall building. I wouldn't like that so much. But
he pulled that word out quick.
Everybody knows triskaidekaphobia. It's one of those that you just learn coming up. Well, those Jeopardy terms. No?
Onomatopoeia.
Onomatopoeia. Don't know what that means. I know what triskaidekaphobia means. Onomatopoeia. I bet their Roar cheerleaders could have told you what
that is. Is onomatopoeia a word that sounds like its definition? Is that that?
Nah, it might be.
A homonym?
A homonym are two words that sound alike.
Okay.
Right? Like where and where.
Yeah.
Should I wear this?
I don't know. We should have started this discussion. Now we all really...
I think we should bring Karen and Rachel back, and we should do some segment called Are You Smarter Than a Roar Cheerleader? And guys will show up thinking that, yeah, and they're going to take them back to school practically literally. I think that would be fantastic. So that's coming up on a future episode of Jaguars Today. All right, back to Rob Rang. He is a Chad Henne supporter. Mm-hmm. And not, he's not crazy thinking he's going to the next five Pro Bowls, but just the things we've seen from him, the maturity, the leadership, the willingness to put the team ahead of his own personal situation.
Right.
All those things make him good fits. From what you've seen on the field, from what we're able to talk mm-hmm. about, it looks like he's playing fairly well. He's not, I think one of his worst days is when it was open to the public last week, as a mm-hmm. matter of fact. Sailed a number of passes on that day. But for the most part, I think he's looked pretty decent, especially considering he's had so few of his normal receivers to work with.
He, in his first couple off seasons, there were practices where he did not look great. This off season, again, without giving too much away, it appears that he has looked significantly better. And to talk to the coaches, Fish, Bradley, they legitimately think that he is playing very, very well during this minicamp. Or during the OTAs. And there were a number of reasons why they liked the idea of bringing him back. First of all, he certainly has the personality type to be able to have the starting position, to be able to go after it, to take that Zen-like approach of I'm going to be the best I can be, and also realize that at some point the transition is going to happen where you go to Blake Bortles. But they also knew statistically he's played 50 games. He's never had a high level of talent around him. So there are people who think that he can play much, much better than he has played so far. So for all those reasons, I liked what Jed said the other day when I asked him, what would your anxiety level be if Chad Henne wasn't here? And he said, high. They really, really think that having him in the building is crucial to what they're trying to do this season and for setting themselves up to move forward.
For the most part, pretty understated guy, too. You know what I mean? He's just pretty matter-of-fact, don't you think?
Yes, and he gets it. Whenever you talk to Chad, no matter what's been written about him, no matter what's being said, no matter what the buzz is, when it was Blaine starting over him, when people wanted to make that a controversy, he just has that quarterback feel about him that he's been through quarterback competitions. He's talked about being the quarterback in high-profile situations. He knows what to say. He knows the right approach. And he knows that this, there's a certain way you have to walk and act if you're going to be the quarterback and if you're going to be an NFL
sure.
quarterback. And he's got all that. He's not going to be a distraction. If they came out tomorrow, which they're not going to do, if they came out tomorrow and went, sorry, Chad, Blake's the guy, you would not see Chad Henne griping to the side to a reporter in the locker room and making that a story. That would not be his MO. He is a professional guy. He knows this is a business, and he truly is going to do what's best for the team.
All right. With that, Chad Henne yesterday talked to the assembled media after practice and just kind of commented on how he feels OTAs have gone as a whole up to this point.
Yeah, I mean, I think overall it's been good. I think each and every day we improved, and, you know, there's some really good things going on out there. You know, I feel good with how I'm throwing the football. You know, there's some obviously points out there where I could throw better, but the timing's been good with the guys that have been out there, and I think we're getting a grasp of offense and getting in and out of plays and executing what's out there.
In addition to that, obviously they got a few receivers back yesterday, mm-hmm. but still – five missing practice that they'd like to have out there, and we'll see how many come back for minicamp. Get your thoughts on that in a minute. Chad talked about how big a deal that is to be missing some of those players from the rotation.
Yeah, I mean, it is a big deal, and I think, you know, if we did have most of our guys out here, it'd definitely be beneficial for the quarterbacks, but, you know, for them to learn the offense as well and see different coverages, route adjustments, and it would definitely be beneficial for them to be out there.
All right, ozone level of trepidation with the wide receiver core. I mean, you know, we knew Allen Robinson, mm-hmm. for instance, was probably going to miss all this stuff
right.
and not be back. At this point, you know, precautionary with Marquise Lee, but wearing the boot, not practicing.
Right.
And Cecil Shorts, again, precautionary
right.
is what they're deeming it. But, you know, this time has to be valuable to some degree
mm-hmm.
For timing, for chemistry, what have you. Any level of concern at this point, or will that only kick in for you if this occurs lingering into training camp?
Probably separate answers on a couple of the guys.
Okay.
No trepidation at all for Cecil, because I believe he knows the offense. If he's healthy going into training camp, and if he can stay healthy, I think you're going to see during the open practices, when you watch Cecil, you're going to see a guy who is clearly ahead of the others and who is clearly the guy who stands out from the rest as long as he's healthy. So I think he's going to be the guy. He's going to set the tone, all of that, and I don't think this sets him back at all. Now, for the rookies, again, I don't think that by the time you get to September, as long as those guys are on the field during training camp, I don't think that by the time you get to September that you're going to notice a huge drop-off because they weren't on the field now. But it certainly puts the onus on they need to be there for training camp having missed this, because there's got to be some time where Jerry Sullivan is on the field with those guys, as I said, grinding down on the details of the routes. Jerry considers that important, so it must be important enough that he needs to be on the field with these guys at some point before this season starts.
I saw a picture. Jerry's trying to pick up a 7-10 split right now, as a matter of fact. Somebody tweeted a picture that included Jerry Sullivan at lat 30 as the Jags taking the day off, if you haven't heard from OTAs. A little team building, as the senior writer kind of clued you into earlier this week, was a possibility. I know we talked mm-hmm. about it off the air. I don't know if I brought it up to you or not when you were in earlier this week. Ryan O'Halloran's comment about Ace Sanders you know, just not being as safe
right.
A roster bet as maybe would think. I don't want to. Ryan didn't say he's on the brink of being
right.
cut. I just want to make that clear. But he said that more like he needs to pick it up
yeah.
if he wants to assure himself a roster spot.
I would be stunned if Ace isn't on the roster next year. At the same time, I know what Ryan's getting at with that, in that if he's going to be part of this going forward, now that you have Cecil, you have Allen Robinson, you have Marquise Lee, he's going to have to earn it a lot more than he did last year, I guess is probably what Ryan's getting at. And I would think that he will, because I think there's going to be a jump between year one and year two. If Ace plays for 3 years the way he did as a rookie, then he's going to fall behind these other guys. But I think he's going to show a lot of growth because he has the quickness. He did what I like to see in a rookie, which is by the end of the season, you could point to things that he was doing well and he had been productive. Not all rookies can say that. So I think he showed enough in his first year that I believe he's going to make a significant jump in his second.
Do his biggest gains have to come in the punt return game? Honestly, I mean, is that what they're – if they're saying what the most primary important thing you bring to us is going to be that aspect, you think that's fair or not?
No, because I think he can play a role as a slot guy if he's open consistently. I think, you know, he's small, so he's not the prototypical slot guy. But if he's open consistently and once he gets 10 yards downfield, if he can make a defender miss and do more things like he showed flashes of late last season, I don't think he has to be a great punt returner. But he can... He has the skills to be a better punt returner than he was last year. And I think they would like to see that in training camp and preseason if he's going to play that role long term.
Rob Rang thinks that ultimately Marquise Lee, if it plays out the way he expects, will be kind of the marquee, take the top off the defense. Everyone loves that phrase. But just that dynamic playmaker that it'll be easy to, you know, eyeball him and say this is the guy that folks have to game plan for. Whereas I think to us in the early stages of rookie minicamp, OTAs, and what we can talk about, I think Allen Robinson had been the more impressive of the two. Your thoughts on that?
For the first couple of days, yes. I mean, it was so brief and in shorts that you hate to say, boy, Allen Robinson's the guy. It was interesting to talk to Rob Rang about that because I think people over here on the East Coast not having seen him a whole lot may not completely understand how good he was as a sophomore and a junior. And when you see his size, you think, okay, can he be that big-time NFL receiver?
Talking about Lee.
Yes, but certainly as dynamic as he was at Southern Cal as a sophomore and a junior, there is a chance that he could be that big play guy, that down-the-field guy that Jaguars really haven't had. And boy, if he is, then you've got a very interesting mix at that spot. Because you've got Allen Robinson, who does look like the prototype guy that you can go to on big down and distance situations to pick up first downs, who can beat coverage short, who can get a third and seven, who can get 9 yards by out-physicaling a guy. I guess what I'm getting at. And then you got Cecil Shorts, who is a very professional wide receiver, can do a lot of things well. And I think if you ask Chad Henne, there's a lot of confidence when he drops back that Cecil's going to be exactly where he's supposed to be. He's that veteran presence. Then Marquise Lee may be the wild card, the big play guy. That's a lot of different types, and Rob mentioned that they are drafting specific types who fit into this, and they complement each other well, which goes back to what he was saying about Dave Caldwell knowing how to draft for these schemes.
A lot of guys missing time means other guys have had opportunities to take advantage of that and catch a coach's eyes. We'll talk about some who may have done just that when we return. Mike Dempsey, John Osher, Fat Tony, it is Jaguars Today. On a Claude Nolan Cadillac Friday, when we come back, we'll take a look at the fan feedback question of the day, which is basically what's one of your great memories or experiences that you recall from football with your dad, whether it's at a game, maybe your own game, maybe practice, maybe he was your coach, or as a father, as Father's Day approaches this weekend, and we'll continue on. It's Claude Nolan Cadillac Friday. Jaguars Today live at Everbank Field on 1010 XL, 92.5 FM. Dustin Johnson, 3-under at the U.S. Open. He's getting lapped by Motti. Martin Keimer lapping the field right now at Pinehurst number 2. Tony, I've probably played. They've got 8 courses off the Pinehurst Resort. I think I've played 4 of them. I have not played number 2. It does not strike me as a course I would enjoy playing for $350 to $400.
No, I don't think so.
No. But nevertheless, if anyone in the Pinehurst community would like to comp me around, I would be happy to have my opinion changed.
To mark that one off, yeah.
As far as I can say. So there you go. Bubba Watson looking for his second major of the year, currently plus 7 right now, and looking like he's probably missing the cut, but we'll see. A lot of golf still to be played on this Friday afternoon. Happy Father's Day weekend to all you fathers, fathers-to-be, all you folks who are very close with your dads out there. Today in the fan feedback spotlight, we asked you about that. We'll get to that momentarily. I want to finish up a few thoughts here with John Osher before we do. John, we're talking about you know, guys that are missing time, but clearly a guy like Kerry Taylor has gotten a ton of reps. I think he's taken advantage of that, looked very good. I think Marcell Jensen has looked really good. Not that he's taking reps at the expense of Mercedes Lewis. He has just been a guy that stood out to me. Whether it's because of increased reps or just guys that have caught your eye, give us a couple of guys that fall in one of those categories.
Certainly, Kerry Taylor is a guy, out of the receivers who are getting the opportunity, he's the guy that you would think could turn into something. He's got experience. He has looked good at times. So if there's five or six guys who are going to be around, you could see him being five or six. Marcell Jensen, we talked a lot about. He can really catch the ball. And he has the size, he has the physicality to make you think that he can be an NFL-level tight end. Gus Bradley's the first to tell you, now they have to see if he can block,
right.
They have to see if he can do those things with pads that are important for a tight end. But certainly in terms of pass-catching ability, on the times that we've been able to see and report, he has looked very, very good. And, you know, the names escaped me. Allen Hurns, I think, overall has looked very good. And Jerry Sullivan said he's been very consistent, which is what you look for out of a young rookie. So those guys are the guys out of guys who are catching the football. I think those guys have looked good in terms of guys that you should look for in training camp as guys who could potentially make a push.
Right, make a push to make the roster. And in recent years, they might have been in great position to make the roster,
yeah,
because of the nature of what they've had.
Damian Copeland, too.
Right.
You know, is another guy who, at the receiver position, it's always tough this time of year when you see guys catching the ball and you see guys looking good, because so often that doesn't translate to being ready to be on the roster regular season. Even guys who catch a lot of passes late in preseason games, it so often just doesn't translate into being able to do it during the regular season, what you see on the field right now. So it's always very tough to judge what you're seeing out of guys who aren't in that starting level receiver. But those guys have shown enough that it makes you think that they would be guys who would at least be around the practice squad to see what they can do going forward.
Right. You're going to take a longer look at them. And
yeah,
I think going into yesterday, Denard Robinson had caught everything thrown his way.
How do you know that?
Because Gus Bradley said
that's
so.
Right.
Gus Bradley, that's the only reason I'm able to tell you that.
Denard is a guy, if you talk to coaches, that they like what he has done to prepare himself for training camp. He has to show, once the pads go on, that he can catch, that he can have ball security, that he can hold the ball when he's getting hit. But so far, the steps they've asked him to take, he has taken to the point where it makes you think that he could be improved when they put the pads on.
All right, let's get back to our Friday fan feedback question of the day, brought to you by the Tom Bush Family of Dealerships. Tony, today we asked folks, give us one of their best experiences from a football standpoint of spending time with their dad or as a dad with Father's Day fast approaching. What are some of the tweets that we got on this?
We got this from Eric, me and dad, 1994 Gator Fog Bowl, first college program ever attended, best Christmas gift, hashtag Jaguars today. From Brandon, the late 80s exhibition game when the Rams played the Falcons at the Gator Bowl. I've been a diehard fan since that night, hashtag Jaguars today, hashtag thanks dad. I went to that game as well as a youngster. Justin sent in, took his daughter to her first Jags game against the Colts last year, had a blast, taught her how to be a true fan, win or lose. Hashtag Jaguars today from Peter. We got, my dad took me to my first NFL game at RFK, Redskins versus Lions, when he was 10 years old, but now he's a hashtag Jaguars today. Jason said, on our way to the Gator Bowl, got rear-ended on Matthews. Car is ruined. Dad says, quote, I think we can still make kickoff.
I love that one. I saw that one. I thought that was fantastic.
Hashtag Jaguars today from Tony Agolini. Being with my dad for the 96 and 08 national title games, that's for the Gators. Season tickets holder since 82. Haven't missed a home game. Hashtag Jaguars today. And from Beef, who doesn't know how to use the hashtag.
Come on,
yet,
Beef!
But Bears, Bucks, late season at Soldier Field, freezing wind off the lake, last row. It creates a bond of solidarity.
I would imagine it does. I got a sampling here on Facebook today. Christopher said, seeing Lawrence Taylor's last game at Giant Stadium, 20 degrees, and my dad let me sip some blackberry brandy to keep warm. Doesn't give an age, but I'm guessing...
Earlier
than 18. You know, by the way, speaking of, I don't know how...
Dad was deep enough in the blackberry brandy to, like, son, drink a little bit.
I don't know if this was normal or not. When I was a kid, my dad used to, you know, beer was a frequent beverage that was consumed at my house. There, we had a beer fridge in the garage. I know a lot of people do, but he drank Peels. P-I-E-L-S.
Yeah.
You know,
okay.
Peels,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
And he would always... He'd get a juice glass, and he'd pour me... You know, probably an inch and a half in a little juice glass.
And he'd drink that, and you drink his. Right?
And then I would pound his and say, "Is this for you?" No. And so he would pour me. And so I didn't drink till I was like 20.
Right.
You know, in college. So it may have been because it wasn't like this mystery thing that I was barred from doing all that time. It was just like, actually, I thought Peels tasted very good. It was probably not considered exactly a high-class beer, knowing my dad's beer taste.
That's awesome.
Is what I'm guessing. So, also, got this from Austin. Too many memories to count. I was 5 when the team started playing, the Jags, that is, and Pops took me to all the games. I'd say it's a tie between those first few Jag seasons and watching the Noles win it all this year in Pasadena, hashtag Jaguars today. And from David, our Pee Wee football team, I just finished the season. We're having our awards banquet, and my name was called to receive the most valuable player trophy for that season. As I took the trophy, I turned around, saw my dad with tears streaming down his face, the one and only time I saw him cry, hashtag Jaguars today, hashtag miss my dad.
Wow.
Hashtag things just got real in the Jaguars today.
That's cool. Yeah.
That is cool, though. Cool. I mean, the only time. I mean, that's the effect that sports can certainly have on you. We gave away a couple of T-shirts yesterday. We'll probably give one or two away today as well. So if you contacted us via the social media outlet of your choosing, look for a tweet or a Facebook post in response to that, and we'll let you know. If you see one by the end of the day, you know that you are a winner. We got a story or two on the line, 641-1010. Let's go to William. Next year on Jaguars Today. How you doing, William?
Hey, how you guys doing?
What's up, man?
Hey, I love your show. This may not qualify. I got in my car and only heard half of the question, but I'm going to tell it anyway. My father, he was a Baptist minister, and he actually hated all sports. He thought sports was rigged. But anyway, I was 6 years old. My brother was 5, and I got an older brother that was 7, 1963. He surprised us all, and we had a passion about football. I mean, we played every day in our backyard. We had a pretty good-sized backyard. But anyway, we just had a passion for football. And 1963, he bought us all a football uniform. Surprised us all. We was the hitter's neighbor. I mean, back in 63, nobody else had a football uniform.
Right.
I mean, and the fact that he just hated football, hated all sports, it just surprised the heck out of us. But that's my story.
Well, that's fantastic. What? He loved you more than he hated football, William, is clearly the way. And by the way, all sports are not rigged. Just the World Cup.
Right.
I mean, come on. Clearly.
Brazil.
And Tony's going to go home to watch this rigged sport. I mean,
well, the Brazil game might have been rigged. I don't think they all are.
I guess WrestleMania replays aren't on today.
So it was a bullcrap PK.
He's going to go check out the World Cup down in Brazil. What a shocker. Brazil get the benefit of the call yesterday in the box, the home country team. All right, we got one more. I think Gary is on the line. We were talking about Red Grange earlier. Gary says he has a story about Red's wife. Gary, keep it clean. How you doing?
How you doing, man?
What's up?
I'm doing well. It was probably back in 1994. I was doing sales, in-house sales. I get this lead to Indian Lake Estate, which is right outside of Lake Wales, heading toward Dehog Junction on Highway 6. I start heading out there, and the address is Red Grange Boulevard. I go, oh, can't leave. I get in there. I knocked on the door. This lady answers the door. It was Grant. She said, just call me, Marty. I went, Marty? Okay. I walk in the house, and all of a sudden I'm looking around, and all of this memorabilia is on the wall. And I'm going, oh, my God. I am in Red Grange's house. Of course, he passed away right then. I went in there. It was a demonstration for water treatment systems. I'm trying to do my demonstration, but I'm not doing a very good job because I'm sitting there looking around all the walls, all this stuff. demonstration. I asked her if she wanted to buy the systems, and I was about it. She said, Gary, she said, I would love to, but I've been diagnosed with cancer, and I don't have too much longer to live. And I didn't know what to say. I'm going, okay. And she said, but would you like to take a tour of the house and see the rest of the relatives? I've noticed that you've been looking around. I said, I would love to. We go through the whole house. I go to the bedroom. I sit there. I'm looking on the walls. I'm seeing all of his things he's been given, all of the things he's won, all praised and everything. For a kid in a candy shop, we get done with this, and she said, would you like something to remember Red Bud? And I'm going, yes, I would love. He opens up this box. It has pictures in it, unsigned. She has cards, the old-time cards, some more signs. She says, you can have two. I says, thank you. I take the two. We talk a little bit more. I leave the house. Then I read in the Lake Wales paper, this is Greg James, he passed away. I'm going, my gosh, what's going to happen to all that memorabilia? And I didn't know, but it was just a day that I was working and really didn't do my job that well because I was so excited about the house I was in.
Gary, great story. I would imagine, John, you know, a lady like that, I don't obviously didn't know her, but she probably was as happy to see Gary and sure. give him the tour as he was to take the tour. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no doubt. That's a great story. I had forgotten that he was from Lake Wales.
I don't know if I ever knew that he was from Lake Wales.
I guess I had read that he was from Florida. You know, he was so associated with Illinois and Chicago.
Sure.
And yeah. So that's a neat story. Neat story.
Well, we gave Red Grange to Illinois, and then Illinois gave Shad Khan back to Florida.
That's
the circle of life, right. Ladies and gentlemen. Shad Daddy, happy Father's Day to Shad and all his little minions out there that like to refer to him as Shad Daddy. And all you out there, happy Father's Day this weekend. Whether you're a dad to be, or you're going to spend time with your dad, or you're missing your dad, or whatever the case may be. And thanks to all those dads out there who can't be with their kids.